So good to be in the house of the Lord. Anybody enjoying this colder weather? I sure might not be. Yes. It is. The Lord blessed us with some amazing days this week. Amazing days of rain at first, but then the sun came out and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again. you see how my mind's working this morning, as in not working. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And you'll never guess what this lesson is. And this is I try to live this lesson. This I want this to be my mantra, the way that I live. And it's simply giving the best, giving the best. It's almost like I don't want to try if I can't do my best. And that's not good either, because we all need to try. We all need to make effort. But I really do. If I have a project, if I have something that's going on in my life, something needs to be accomplished, my goal is to do it to the best of my ability. If we're cleaning the house, getting ready for a showing today, praise God, amen, then I'm probably going to clean things that Holly thinks don't need to be cleaned. They haven't been cleaned in 10 years, why clean them now? So I'm wiping down light fixtures and all kinds of fun stuff that no one's going to see, no one cares about, because we haven't looked at it in 10 years. But when I'm doing a project, I like to do the best that I possibly can. The focus thought today is, because God gave His best to us, we should give our best in everything that we do. Has there ever been stuff that you're really not invested in? Things that you really wish they hadn't asked for your help, Aaron, and just kind of, you're there. You're there in body, but you're really not there. I think we've all been in situations like that. This morning when I walked downstairs and went splash in my first step, I was thinking, I'm so glad that I stepped into this. I saw it. You see it. You own it. Grab them up. Let's get going here. Let's get that taken care of. I don't know if my whole heart was in that, but I tried to do it to the best of my ability with a mop that didn't seem to be absorbing any water. Doing the best that we can with what we've got. Very vital in our walk with God. Our focus verse, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, and the lesson text is all the way through that, 1 through 10. But our focus verse, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, everybody say this with me, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. Isn't that exciting? Amen. There will be no work. There will be no device. Right? The Bible applies to all ages and all times, right? No device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. So right now, today, during your life, because tomorrow is not promised. So right now, today, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Do the best that you can. Amen. Big hearty amens on that one this morning. Amen. Our cultural connection, the only answer our world needs. The largest security force in the world. Does anybody know what it is? Nobody knows what the largest security force in the world is? And I don't know why I'm getting to talk about all of the wonderful, I talked about diseases and sickness and contagious diseases on Thursday night. And this morning I get to talk about trillions of bacteria and viruses that make up our personal microbiome. Right? Don't start thinking about that because you'll be itching and scratching. And it's horrible. It's horrible. But it's true. It is our biggest defense. I wonder sometimes if the sickness in our children today is because we don't allow them to play in the dirt anymore. Right? I mean, we went out in the backyard, find an old piece of iron stuck in the mud and pull it out and be cutting ourselves with it and all kinds of stuff and chewing on it when we were little and you know. We don't do that anymore because everybody's scared and everybody has to have antibacterial for everything. And we have damaged and hurt our microbiome. I just like that word, microbiome. But we have trillions of bacteria and viruses. And biologists started this human microbiome project back in 2008. And they were uncovering how closely our body relies on these semi-autonomous partners in securing our well-being. So from the skin to the lining of the intestine, they're everywhere on us. Okay, we're good. Someday soon, scientists hope to train them for new roles. This was kind of funny to me. I don't know why. This is not funny, but training them to fight cancer and providing early warnings for infections and all those kind of things. I'm thinking, why not train these guys to do the dishes? Right? If we're going to train them, let's train them right. But there's possibility in these fields, and it's way beyond my knowledge and understanding of how they're going to train them. I don't know, little treats. I'm not sure how exactly you would train a little bacteria or a virus. I'm not sure. But they say it's possible. And so, moving on, because I'm making light of the bacteria and viruses in our body. The American scene boasts many heroes who quickly jump into the scene when chaos and tragedy strikes. We all have our favorite superhero, somebody who saves the day. But the greatest cause on earth, the kingdom of God, should invoke the best from all believers. We should, at a moment's notice, be ready to leap into action and be the superhero for the kingdom of God, no matter what the situation is. We are not necessarily fighting fires or rescuing a drowning person or stopping a riot. Believers are called to be the salt and the light in the world. We need to be the salt and the light. Both of those affect their surroundings immediately. You ever put salt on a leech? Our campground growing up was on a lake, and it was loaded with wonderful leeches. And so there was always a little thing of salt somewhere nearby for those special occasions when they attacked, which was pretty much every time you went swimming. So, but it affects them immediately. You watch them. Just watch them. Just try it one time. It affects them immediately. Salt affects its surroundings immediately. When you put it on your food, does your food flavor change immediately, or does it take a while for the salt to kind of work its way? No. When you turn on a light switch, what happens? Almost instantaneously, our brains can't even really tell when we go click to when the light comes on, unless it's some of those older coil bulbs that, yeah. So, moving on. We should go where there is sin. We should go where there's devastation. We should go where there's hurt and pain and heartache, responding like a first responder, just like those first responders that cover our body, that protect us. We ought to care enough for the people around us to jump into those situations, praying with them and helping them in these situations. Amen. The most important cause on the planet, the kingdom of God, the salvation of a soul. All of heaven rejoices over one. So what does this world need? Jesus. Has anybody ever been in an unfair situation? I can't count how many times that I have felt like the situation I was in was unfair. There have been some that I have dealt with like a Christian. And there's other situations where I did nothing but complain and worry and fret, be anxious, all the things the Bible tells us not to do. I've done all those things in unfair situations. It's not fair that I have to pay this. This was not my fault. This accident was not my fault. This situation in life is unfair. Unfair. I say we as in everybody. We as Christians sometimes do it. The world definitely does it. There is no belief in God until something negative happens in their life. And then why is God doing this to me? This is so unfair. You know, I don't believe in God to help me with the good stuff, but I definitely believe there's a God that's doing bad things to me. All right? It doesn't make any sense. But there are just things that happen in life that seem unfair. And in the story, it's talking about purchasing a home and finding a small leak of water under the refrigerator. Have you ever found a small leak of water under the refrigerator? Just last week, I found a small leak under the kitchen sink. And it had been dripping for a little bit. But it could have gotten so much worse. It could have destroyed the cabinet. It could have destroyed the flooring under the cabinet. It could have destroyed the flooring itself. And it could have gone down into the crawl space. And it could have destroyed all of the Christmas decorations that are down in the crawl space. And that would have been a tragedy if I didn't have Christmas decorations to pull out of there. My back would have been thankful for that. But it could have been so much worse from this one little tiny problem. But because he found it, he didn't really at the time, why is this so unfair? Why I just bought this house. Why in the world am I having trouble with this small leak? And then when he found somebody to actually repair the leak, the repairman told him how bad it could have been. Say you had not noticed that small little tiny bit of water, how much damage it could have caused over time. And so be thankful for that small little tiny inconvenience that was caught early and prevented so much more damage. And so a lot of times when we're looking at these unfair or bad situations in our life, we're looking at just that one little tiny thing and not looking at the big picture, not looking down the road to see how much God is blessing us through this small, seemingly unfair situation. So important for us to kind of step back at times when we're feeling like we're being bombarded and when we feel like life is unfair and everything is going against us and we're getting beat up by everybody around us. Sometimes it's just best to step back. And I'm just going to count my blessings. I'm going to name them one by one. And I'm going to start alphabetically or maybe from my childhood on. And then this one little inconvenience doesn't seem like such a bad deal. It's one little inconvenience. The other thing that I learned from little inconveniences is God, what are you trying to show me here? You know, maybe it's a big inconvenience. Maybe it's something that's really huge in my life that seems really unfair. God, I don't want to have to go through this again. So teach me what you're trying to teach me so that I don't. I want to pass this thing the first time through. So, question for you this morning, and some of you may or may not have already had your coffee, but responses are good. Why do you think God sometimes allows us to experience seemingly unfair situations? Sister Walker. To learn from and to grow from, absolutely. Is everything in life perfect? Absolutely not. Anyone else? Any other ideas?
Well, it's like you said before, God's using you to bless your situation and affect everybody around you. So you going through, you know, a tough time or a lesson is not just affecting you. It's teaching and showing the people that you were with and you're in contact with that through those times, you remain the same, you remain consistent.
Absolutely. So, being consistent through these, being a light and being an example to those that are around us, excellent. God puts us through some situations in life that don't have anything to do with you. Everybody say, it's not all about me. Maybe it's about the person that's watching you going through a situation. Maybe it's about a family member who has gone through a struggle, and they say you've lived for God all these years, and you've never had to go through anything difficult. Well, maybe you have to go through something difficult, and they see how you respond the same in the bad as the good, and that is the example that they needed to see. That's the witness that they needed to see. So sometimes the unfairness doesn't have anything to do with you. God's got a master plan. And I'm thankful that he's got the master plan. And he knows exactly what I need and what those need around me. And I just need to be willing to do and be led by God through these situations in life and allow my light to shine no matter what is happening in me, around me, through me. I just need to let my light shine. I need to continue to focus on doing my best in every situation. Amen. Whether it's fair or unfair, God gave his best for us. We should realize God's blessings are just as inexplicable as the problems we face. Why do we never say that? When God's blessing, God, why are you blessing me? What's wrong with you? Why? What's? We don't do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord for a good job. Thank the Lord for that car. Thank the Lord for my family and my blessings. Thank the Lord I've got food in the refrigerator. I thank the Lord for all those blessings. I'm not going, why, God? Why did I have enough groceries this week? Why are you blessing me? Knock it off. We don't do that. And those blessings are just as inexplicable as the trials and some of the hardships that we go through. Yet we question every time something unfair or negative pops up in our life. God, why? I'm doing everything right, God. Why? Why am I going through this? The question I have for you this morning is, why is the Lord so good to us? Because I know that I don't deserve it, and at least 50% of you don't deserve it. Why is the Lord so good to us? Buddy, got a good answer?
Because he loves us, and that's what he is. He's good.
He is good. Praise God. He loves us. He is good. The psalmist wrestled with this question in Psalms 8 and 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We should be thankful that we do not serve a distant creator who cares nothing for us. We should be thankful that our God did not set life in motion and withdraw his blessings and become disinterested in our plight. God not only cares for us, but he gave his best for us and to us. The Lord heaps benefits. Heaps. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. He heaps benefits on us. Do we deserve them? No, but he still heaps benefits on us that we do not deserve. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to save us from our sins. God gave his best for us. He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Amen. He withholds no good thing. Jesus' death on the cross purchased our salvation. His sacrifice allows us to repent of our sins. Thank the Lord for that. We have an opportunity to repent of our sins. Without his death on the cross, no opportunity. No opportunity. He made a way where there seemed to be no way to redeem man back to himself. He also made a way for us to be baptized in the name of Jesus and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Comforter was coming. Praise God. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. When we follow his leading, the Lord will bring blessings into our lives. Praise God. Romans 7:18. The good thing God, good things God provides for us are even more amazing when we think about our sinful nature, when we contrast our sinful nature with his holy nature and the things that he blesses us with. It's amazing when you're looking at art, and I know that you guys do this so much. There's so many art museums around here. But when you're looking at art, contrast is what makes something pop out at you. The shadows and all of those kind of the contrast. And sometimes if we don't ever look at how nasty and ugly sin is, we don't really understand how great God's forgiveness is in our life. Repentance is so important. It's such an important aspect of our walk with God. We need to understand that without his grace, without his forgiveness, I am just a sinner and a horrible sinner at that. I can't even do that right. Horrible. But Romans 7:18, Paul wrote, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me," so I want to, "but how to perform that which is good I find not." I want to, but I just can't find it in myself to be able to do good. To do good. Without God, I am nothing. I really am. I believe that I can do nothing without him. I need him. I need his forgiveness. In order to walk uprightly and to receive the blessings that he has for me, I need him. I need his forgiveness in my life. Jesus had a plan to bless us, help us learn how to walk uprightly. We cannot do this on our own. And that makes him even greater, because he wants to give good things to the upright, and he knows that in ourselves we can't be upright. And so he helps us be upright so that he can bless us. That's a good God. That's a good God. Praise God. So everybody just shout out one thing that God has given them that you feel like you do not deserve. Ready? Go. Family. Life. Family. Life. Health. Right? A good job. Salvation. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. Amen. He gave his only begotten son. When Jesus came to earth, his purpose was not only to die for our sins, but also to be an example, to set that example for us to follow. In the Gospels, we see Jesus going about doing good, helping and healing others. On the road to the cross, we see Jesus exhibiting the right kind of behavior during intense adversity. That's saying it mildly. But he maintained the right attitude and the right behavior. Didn't throw a fit. Didn't get angry. Endured the cross. Endured the cross. The Apostle Peter wrote of Jesus' example for us, 1 Peter 2:23, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He threatened not. It's important how we go through things. It's important when we go through things to still do our best. When things are unfair, we still need to do our best. Be the best that we possibly can be in every situation we find ourselves in. I think it's easier sometimes when we realize or when we have a trust in God. When we trust in His plan. When we trust that He's got it all worked out. When we trust that He knows the future. Then we're going through something and we don't understand it. We can trust Him. We can trust Him in the situation. And if our trust is in Him, we can face it with the best attitude. And we can face it and know that it's either working something for our good or for somebody around us. And it's all about trusting His purpose and His plan for our life. Jesus is definitely the best gift. John 3:16 is quoted very often. And it's, kids can quote it. Pretty much anybody can quote this. It's on plaques all over the place. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's how we quote it. We just go through the words. But there is so much power in that verse explaining that God loved us so much that He came, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. A promise. Because He loved us, He came and promised us everlasting life. Don't let John 3:16 just become a cliche because it's quoted so often. That is a powerful verse. Salvation is in that verse. Redemption is in that verse. A new life and a future is in that verse. Praise God. I'm so thankful for John 3:16. Jesus gave His very best for us. So how can we do anything less for Him? Gave His very best. We are not just asked to do our best. We are commanded to give our best. We cannot allow ourselves to become complacent. We should examine ourselves to make sure that we are putting forth our best efforts every day in every situation. But God, I'm tired today. And he says, well, that was your excuse yesterday. But God, I'm hungry. But God, I've got a headache. God, I don't feel well. God, you know the pressure I'm in with my family situation right now. How can I give my best today? We need to examine ourselves in every situation. How can I do the best that I can? I need to accomplish what you've called me to do in the best way possible. And just like we are not able to walk uprightly by ourselves, we need him, and he wants to bless the upright, so he helps us be upright so he can bless us. We are commanded to give our best, but guess who can help us give our best all the time? Jesus Christ. Praise God. His Spirit living in us. We can be overcomers. We can succeed. We can do our absolute best in every situation. We can have a smile on our face when everything around us is telling us to frown. We can smile when everything around us is breaking our hearts and we want to do nothing but cry. We can have the joy of the Lord in every situation. We can do our best. Praise God. Amen. Not saying that we don't ever cry, because we do, and there are times that we need to cry. There is a time and a season for everything in life. Amen. But even in that, you need to make it your best cry. Amen. Amen. If you're going to cry, make it good. I mean, man, if I was going to get spanked after church, which happened every service, if I was going to get spanked after church, man, that was the best cry that I could muster right there. No, Dad, no. Not again. I knew it was coming because I never followed directions and was a rather rebellious child. I still haven't quite outgrown that, but I'm getting better, trying my best to not be a rebellious child. Amen. We are commanded to give our best. Baseball players are taught to run out a grounder to first. You ever, any baseball fans? I'd fall asleep. It's just not quite fast enough for me. I enjoyed playing, but and that's the only reason I know this. The coach is always saying, it doesn't matter how horribly you hit the ball, run as fast as you can to first base. Most of the time, you're going to be thrown out. Most of the time. But what if the guy catches or misses the ball or throws it poorly? There's always a chance, but there is no chance of succeeding if you don't run hard. So if you want to succeed in this walk with God, run hard. Run hard. Make an effort. You may not always succeed. You will fail from time to time. Not every decoration that Holly has ever made has turned out perfect. You have no idea how many times we rearrange the stuff in the sanctuary for a kids' day before it finally comes together. But in that whole process, we are running as hard as we can to get to first base. Because one of these times, we're going to succeed. We're going to get there. We're going to do it. So no matter what the situation is, we need to give our best effort. We should approach life with the same mindset that we are going to give our best, even when sometimes it seems like a lost cause. We can kind of rationalize the, I don't need to give my best in this because I've already lost. I've already lost. There's no way that this is, you know, God likes to come through a lot of times in the darkest moment of our situation. And he may not come through in that darkest moment if we've given up in the twilight. If we've given up long before. And so we need to keep pressing forward and giving our best in every situation. When we work, we are to give our best. When you have a little mop that doesn't want to pull up the water off the floor, still, give your best. The first time I wrung it out, there was 3 drops. Well, guess what? The next time I wrung it out, there's about 5 drops. The next time I wrung it out, there's about 10 drops that came out of it. And eventually, it got worked in. But the first few times, this mop is horrible. I'll never get anywhere with this mop. I'm throwing it down, and we're just going to swim to the Sunday school classrooms. No. When we work, we are to give our best. We should make the most out of our opportunities. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We only have a limited amount of time to make an impact on this earth. Limited time to make an impact on this earth. So we need to make the most out of every opportunity that comes our way. We cannot afford to bypass or skip when the voice of the Lord is saying, go talk to that person. We can't afford to miss out on an opportunity to go and witness to somebody. When somebody asks a question, we can't afford to not have time to answer it. We need to take advantage of every possible moment to impact this earth, this world, those around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God desires for all of us to have purpose. Purpose. We need purpose. Without purpose, we get lazy. And lazy is not our best. It's just not. We get very laid back and not really want to do anything. And even the things that we enjoy, well, that's fine. When we get in that state of laziness, we need to have purpose in life. We have the greatest purpose. Our purpose is His purpose. Our passion should be His passion. What was His passion? It's only mentioned once in Scripture. What was His passion? Passion of Christ, to come, to die, to redeem mankind, bring man. That should be our passion. That should be our purpose in life, and doing it at the best of our ability. We are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pretty sure that's a scripture somewhere. As Christians, we can become so caught up in following rules that we forget the importance of the first and second commandments. Both of these commandments were rooted in love. Love. Rooted in love. We are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor. When we think about all the commandments God has given for us to follow, we should go beyond viewing them as mere rules. When I was a kid, I think I looked at a lot of the stuff that we did as rules. But as I grew and as I matured, I started to understand that it's not a rule that I'm following because I have to follow a rule. I do some things in my life that others don't do because I love Him. There's some things that I don't do to my neighbors because I love them. Right? There are things that I do for my coworkers and for people that I am in contact with because I love them. I love them and want the best for them. And so the rules, I don't even consider them rules anymore. This is, I love God. And so I'm going to live according to His word. End of story. It is not a rule book to me. It is, I love God. Very different approach than just following a bunch of rules. They are messages from a loving Father who wants us to live more abundant lives. If we view the Word of God as a message from a loving Father. We should put forth our best efforts to obey the Lord, keep His commandments, for they were all given out of love. You know, we always jump to the God chastens those He loves and get beat all the time. Maybe it comes from our childhood when our parents would spank us for being rebellious, whatever it might be. And we sometimes look at God that way. But everything that is in the Word of God is coming from God. And what is God? God is love. And so everything from the Word of God coming to you is love. Is love. Why is this happening to me? Well, let me explain it the same way every single time. God loves you. Why am I going through this situation? God loves you. Why am I feeling this pain? God loves you. Why am I being blessed? God loves you. When we view it from a loving God's point of view, there was nothing that He could ask that I would not do. Because He loves me. And He wants me to have an abundant life. Praise God. And I am almost out of time, maybe. I've got 2 minutes. Good. Very quickly, the story of Joseph, I think we'll end with that. The story of Joseph is very interesting. It goes from being the favored son to being fake killed, sold into slavery, Potiphar's wife, prison, and then second only to Pharaoh, saving his people and the world from famine. And we know all the statistics of Joseph and all, but if you just look at the man Joseph and his attitude through every situation, God help us in every situation to give our best. Oh, I'm being sold. Oh, I'm at this really cool house, and I might as well jump in and do my best. And guess what? He just keeps on moving up. Well, gets knocked back down. Well, now I'm in prison. Well, I'm going to do my best in the situation. Is it fair that I'm in prison? No, I did nothing wrong. I did nothing to deserve this. But if you look at God's plan for Joseph's life, it was greater than the momentary prison that he was in. It was about feeding a nation. It was about feeding the world. It was about saving the world. And so when we go through these moments of prison or being falsely accused or being thrown into a pit or people around us not liking us or despising us, being forgotten. These are just momentary things. But it's all part of God's great big plan to save the world. Look at the big picture. As you stand this morning, look at the big picture, and that will help you to give your best in every situation, knowing that God has everything under control. He has a master plan for your life and for those around you. If you are going through a hard time this morning, lift up your head. Do your best in that situation, knowing that you're going to come out on the other side, and it's either going to have a great effect on your life and your ministry or somebody that's been watching you. You're not going through it alone. God is right there with you. The family of God is right there with you. Do your best in every situation, and God will bless the upright. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that today. Hallelujah. God will give you strength. Our prayer requests today, we're going to pray for Kiana. Their dedication services on Tuesday. Praise God. That has been, they call it church in a day, but we're going to call it church in almost a year. It's been planning and moving forward, and I heard that Brother Mulligan's out there hooking up the hot water right now. I believe they got all their plumbing taken care of. Talked to Brother Farmer last night. He is stuck in Fairbanks, and he just laughed. He said, well, they're going to go ahead and have the dedication service without me because I don't know if I can get there. But we'll pray that the weather clears and he can get back to Kiana for that dedication service in Jesus' name. Brother Mike and Sister Megan are in Whitehorse this morning. Brother Mike is ministering there. I need to pray for them. They did have a safe journey. I don't know if they saw any wildlife, but we'll get that story when they get back. Also, we need to pray for Sister Marilyn, Sister Arlene and family, Brother Ivan and family with their loss. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Brother Cliff. Okay. Togiak, missing boy. In a boat. All right. We will pray. We will pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we love you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing. God, every hard time that we go through. I thank you, Lord, for it, God. In Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for the dedication service in Kiana.